Blog Talk Radio.
Martin Luther King in Memphis, Tennessee, was assassinated, and we still don't have all the information. It's just like the John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy assassinations. A lot of mysteries still remain nearly 40 years, like over 40 years later. Remember the riots that King was assassinated. And he came to Chicago, and Richard Daley, then Mayor Richard Daley the first, was very upset with King because Martin Luther King said that Chicago was the most segregated city in the North, and that upset Richard Daley. Now, a protege of Richard Daley the first was Jane Byrne. She was elected on this day as the first woman mayor of Chicago. She had one term. Also on this day, the first Harrison, there was two Harrison, Benjamin Harrison, William Henry Harrison of Tippecanoe and Tyler II, a general in the early American era. He gave the longest inaugural speech in American presidential history. He did it bareheaded, and in those days, the presidents were inaugurated in March. And I think he spoke for 41 minutes, and he caught pneumonia. He spoke the longest, and he caught pneumonia and died. He was the first president to die in office. Now, later, during the American Civil War, and even before then, a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania, Thaddeus Stevens, was opposed to slavery. Interestingly, he had a Negro or a black mistress. And if you see the movie, the latest Lincoln movie, you'll see it's James Jones who plays Thaddeus Stevens, and he's in bed with this black woman. Anyway, Thaddeus Stevens was a radical Republican congressman, and he got into a fight on the floor of Congress, and he was beaten over the head and partially paralyzed. In fact, there's a great movie with Andrew Johnson. I've got to find it, where Lionel Barrymore played Thaddeus Stevens, and a great role. Now, Andrew Johnson succeeded Abraham Lincoln. Stevens wanted the South punished. Andrew Johnson wanted to carry out Lincoln's plan for reconciliation. Stevens was one of the leaders of the impeachment against Andrew Johnson. So he was unsuccessful, but interesting in American history. Now, also on this day, we had the birth of Caracalla. And if you go to Rome, you'll see the baths of Caracalla. You can't bathe in them today, but it's part of the history of ancient Rome. a mental health reformer, the great Dorothea Dix, born on this day, one of the great conductors who worked with, premiered many of Richard Wagner's operas, Hans Richter, who was a conductor and also supposedly a composer. Among the other great conductors on this day was Pierre Monteux, and I think I'll play Pierre Monteux playing the La Marseillaise. Let me see. I think we have it here. And let's see. I don't see it here. We'll play it a little later. He was born in France, a Jewish background. Became an American citizen in 1942. He conducted the Boston Symphony, the San Francisco Symphony. He taught people, he lived one of the longest. He also premiered, he was a little guy, premiered some of the most radical music at the turn of the century, Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, which was booed, and, of course, the French in those days, audiences in those days didn't like something. They threw tomatoes, they booted you. They don't behave that way today. we'll find that. Also on this day, Charles Funk. You ever heard of Funk and Wagner encyclopedias? They were the second most popular encyclopedia after Canada. A great stage scriptwriter, Robert Sherwood, who's famous for his Lincoln in Illinois. Also on this day, we had Muddy Waters, a great black Southern Negro blues musician. The guy who wrote a lot for San Francisco Chronicle, Herb King, was born in Sacramento, came to San Francisco, and he called himself the Sacramento Kid. In his later years, his column was written by Carol Vernier, who I met several times, but she carried Kane's column in the San Francisco Chronicle. Great movie musician, composer of scripts, soundtracks, Elmer Bernstein, not related to the great Leonard Bernstein. If you saw the movie On the Waterfront, the blonde woman in that, Eva Marie Saint, who was the girlfriend of Marlon Brando. Also on this day, Anthony Perkins, you remember him from Psycho, great film of Alfred Hitchcock. A longtime senator from Indiana, head of the Foreign Relations Committee, Richard Lugar. Also on this day, in South Africa, Hugh Masekela, great African jazz and blues musician, and one of his great singers was Letta Mbulu. They came to San Francisco and with the Union of South Africa band, and they put out a lot of great recordings. In fact, you did one with Herb Alpert. And the woman who wrote the hit piece on Frank Sinatra, Kitty Kelly, if he could have put a contract out on her, maybe he would have. He was very upset with this unauthorized biography, which is still in print, incidentally. Among the deaths today, among the other births today, was Arthur Murray, Arthur Murray's dance studios. They were accused of ripping off people. We had Admiral Yamamoto, who was the architect of the attack on Pearl Harbor. When he was a junior naval officer, he came to America like a lot of Japanese, and he studied at Harvard. He went all over the United States. He warned the Tojo and the Japanese government before World War II that America, if you attack her, she's like a sleeping giant with great industrial resources, and, of course, that was borne out. Now, he was on a Japanese bomber on an inspection tour during World War II, about 1943-44. He was on his way to Rabaul, and we had cracked the Japanese naval code, and they sent out a hit squad and attack planes to try to intercept and shoot down Yamamoto. And they succeeded in shooting down the bomber. It was called a Betty. And he crashed in the jungles of Rabaul. And, of course, Japan gave him a state funeral, one of the greatest naval strategists in Japanese history. Of course, on this day, we had Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. Among the other deaths today, we had Jason Robards, who was the second husband of Betty Bensky, Lauren Bacall, the first whose first husband was Humphrey Bogart. Also, Ali Bhutto, who was a Pakistani president, his administration was corrupt and abusive, and he was tried and hanged in prison. And his daughter, Benazir Bhutto, ran for president of Pakistan, and she was assassinated. And it was a very tragic family. And then we had, let's see, who else? That's about it on this day. oh, and also the death of Andre Michelin. Oh, no, he's born, I think, he died on this day. And Michelin Tires, and also the Michelin Restaurant Directory. it's kind of in Congress. We can't find the recording with Pierre Montour. He was quite a little character with his French accent. I know we have it here. Let me try one more time. For some reason, we have so much here. Well, we'll play it on July 4th anyway. And Pierre Montour died. He lived to be about 90. They say conductors live a long time, because musical conductors, because they're waving their arms and they exercise that heart muscle. Also on this day was the end of the Battle of the Somme, and a great British-American military man, Trevor Hodges, who did the only interview which I have, which we own in our archives, and he was at the Battle of the Somme, and there's something that he disclosed that the British don't want to talk about, and that there were so many horses killed in the Battle of the Somme that the British Army had horse meat for meals, for rations, for a month. And let me see. I know we have it here. And I'll play what he said. This is the only interview he ever did. Excuse me. And so here's Trevor. Here we go. Trevor, one more to go.
Trevor, when you were in France on the Somme in World War I, did anything happen with animals that you can recall?
Yes, a very dreadful thing. Whether it was in 16 or early 17, I don't know. But my little unit, smoke unit, was out of the trenches resting. And I was awakened before dawn by a clickety-clank sound. And I looked out of my tent, and there was cavalry going up towards the front line. Well, they got slaughtered. They got through the first lot of barbed wire, which had been pretty well blasted by the artillery. But the artillery hadn't done enough job on the second load, and they got all tangled up, and those beautiful horses were slaughtered right and left. Thank God I didn't actually see it. But all I know is that for 2 months after that, the whole British Army ate horse meat.
I guess that beats bully beef.
I'm not so sure.
Well, that's an excerpt from the hour-long interview I did. We're producing a video of film pictures taken at Gallipoli. Trevor Hollard, Trevor Hodges, was a part of the Grenadier Guards. Signed in, was to be 1918, and that was quite a story. He served in France, and then he was also at Gallipoli, became ill, and saved his life probably. He was on also the sister ship of the Titanic, which was Canning, and that later torpedoed or struck a mine during World War I. After the war, he came to America like a lot of British officers. He went to work for Chrysler. He was the vice president. And in 1940, 1941, Roosevelt knew that we were going to get into the war was the Nazis and the Japanese. So there were about, according to Trevor, there were about 10,000 ex-British Army officers here in the United States. Many of them were called in to help train the new emerging American Army. He became a colonel in the U.S. Army, and he served up here in Northern California in charge of a Women's Army Corps battalion. And that's an interesting story in and of itself. So these some of these archival audio historical interviews are going to be donated to various museums and educational facilities around the United States and Canada and maybe Australia and England. Also on this day, more and more we're countries hearing about corruption in San Francisco city government and Sacramento state legislature. Usually for years, media people in the hypocrisy would sneer at Tammany Hall's corruption in New York, the Kelly Daily machine in Chicago, in the old days, the Prendergast machine in Kansas City. But there was a lot of corruption in California around the early 1900s and the 20s. Of course, we had Eugene Schmidt here in San Francisco as one of the most corrupt mayors in the history of the city. And he was mayor about the time of the 1906 earthquake. The corruption in California led to what was called the Progressive Movement in California. This was Hiram Johnson. They were progressive Republicans. The progressives of that day were not the same people who claim to be progressives today. The so-called progressives today are radically left closet communists, because after World War II, the Communist Party in America, because of the stench of Stalin and all his abuses, they went into the political closet and came out as, quote, progressives, but they're no more progressive. They're about as progressive as the case of colon cancer in the body politic. But what's been going on, there have been no major federal prosecutions of political corruption in California for many years. But this time they caught because it involves gun running, drugs, bribery, influence peddling, and murder for hire. These are some of the allegations. Anyway, what's interesting about this one is that they're talking about the major drug trafficking as far east as Nashville, Tennessee. However, in 1990-1991, according to a DEA source who informed me about it, that there was $1 billion worth of heroin found in the Hayward, California warehouse. NBC was secretly allowed to set up cameras to videotape the illegal activity that was going on in that warehouse. That warehouse was allegedly connected to people like Nancy Pelosi. She claimed she knows nothing about it, or claimed at the time, but other people wonder. And her was not convincing what she said. Anyway, the guy that set it up was a guy named Chang, and he was working for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development here in San Francisco, and he's named in a federal indictment, which we will put up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site later this weekend. But also, before that, in 1988, that period of time, there was a Bolivian woman, an immigrant named Rosario Aramburu Anaya. She lived in Oakland, California, Alameda County, but through voter fraud, she claimed to live in San Francisco. She was appointed to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors by another corrupt mayor, George Moscone. Moscone was later assassinated along with Harvey Milk. And a lot of things are coming out about Moscone. He was no St. George. Anyway, Anaya came from Cochabamba, Bolivia, which is to Bolivia what Medellin is to Colombia. It's the cocaine capital of Bolivia. It's called the Blue Cocaine. And she hired an illegal alien who was a cocaine trafficker named Antonio Soruco. And he came up to Alameda County to work on her house. He was not in the country legally. He was a cocaine trafficker. And he was acting in a contractor's capacity, even though he had no license and he was in the country illegally. working illegally. Somehow he set her house on fire, and he fled back to Bolivia. She filed a lawsuit against him. They had a falling out. She filed a lawsuit in Alameda County Courts. He comes back through Mexico and was caught with trafficking cocaine and was arrested by Mexican authorities. Anaya protested, and she asked the Mexican government to release him to come up to Alameda County to face charges in an Alameda County court where he was defended. They refused, and we don't know what happened with Antonio Ceruco. But Anaya surfaced in the Juan Pifre case where there was cocaine also, and suspected that Juan Pifre, an Argentinian icon of a major banking family, was into cocaine, boy prostitution, HUD corruption, in the country, acting in political capacity illegally, and he had assaulted other young males and should have been deported. But when he was, after he was killed in trying to rape Stephen Neri, a U.S. Navy sailor, 18-year-old boy that he had lured to his house in a remote area of San Francisco, at the autopsy, and it wasn't publicized, there was cocaine found in Juan Pifre's body. And Rosario Anaya, his political ally, tried to become the executor of the Pifre estate. There wasn't that much money. But anyway, there are these three major drug trafficking cases here in San Francisco, and there may be more. And then because politicians want to legalize marijuana, cocaine, needle exchange, methamphetamine, all of that crap. So it ain't over, and the fat lady hasn't sang yet, and when she does sing, she's going to be singing a different song. I thought I had Montu's version talking, and quite a guy, but we don't have it, so we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, excuse me, and we'll probably play Pierre Montu on July 14th.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call up the...
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the
folks are going to, well, I think I'll just play this little clip. Martin Luther King talking about Chicago and his civil rights protest, because I remember this.
When they put me in jail, when they put Ralph and then Wyatt in jail, let them know that they got 100 more to put in jail. When they put that next 100 in jail, let them know that they got another 1,000 to put in jail. When they put that 1,000 in jail, let them know that they got 10,000 more to put in jail. America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country until the nation comes to terms with our problems. Now, since I don't see the answer in riots, and I say that very sincerely, I don't see it morally because of my moral commitment to nonviolence, but I don't see it practically. I've been to Watts numerous times since the riot took place there several years ago, and Watts is no better. In fact, they've done studies to show that Watts is no better. Conditions haven't changed. So that we've got to find a method that will disrupt our cities if necessary, create the crisis that will force the nation to look at the situation, dramatize it, and yet at the same time not destroy life or property. Now, you know what? I see that as massive civil disobedience. But I don't see the answer to our problem in riots. So my slogan is not burn, baby, burn. My slogan is build, baby, build. Organize, baby, organize. Learn, baby, learn, so that you can earn, baby, earn. That's my slogan.
Unfortunately, we have poverty profiteers in the black community as well. But we'll be back Monday, and maybe I can get an interview with Pat Butler, who knew Jane Byrne as the first woman mayor. And so she's still around today. Her husband was a Marine pilot who died in a plane crash. And she later married a newsman, Jay McMullen, who worked for the old Chicago Daily News, which went out of business, like the Chicago Herald Examiner. Papers. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Have a safe weekend.